What's up, guys? Thank you for tuning in to Pave the Way. We've got our next episode coming up for you, and I've got Rob back. Rob hadn't been on a while because he's been grinding so hard, so just wanted to kind of update you on the houses we got going. We're hot and heavy flipping houses right now, so just kind of wanted to update you on some things that he's doing to kind of educate guys on what we do day-to-day. We do sell insurance still, but Rob and I have kind of stepping into a role of primarily focusing on real estate, construction, flipping houses. So, Rob, thanks for coming on, man.
Appreciate it, man.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, Rob's a hustler, so we're going to dive into that a little bit. So me and Rob, our relationship goes way back to, I mean, guess it's been over 10 years now.
Zane got married in 2011, and that was like when we really started being buddies.
That's right. And then Rob gets me on at the city. And Rob's story with the city is so cool because he was working at the city, but he was also – I mean, flipping a ton of trucks, selling anything he could sell to really hustle his way through. And I knew going back to when we started the insurance agency, me and Rob probably had 25,000 ideas about starting a business before we decided to do insurance. But I just knew when Rob was able to focus 100% on selling stuff that he was going to be super successful. And I mean, he was one of the best insurance agents in Farmers in the whole state for a while. And now he's focused on real estate. But the point that I want to drive today is that hustle and that drive can lead you into different worlds and different avenues. So he got good at selling, good at connecting, and then now the doors are open for opportunity. So what was it, Rob, about you, like even going back to like your city days, what was it about you that like made you have that hustling ability?
Man, so I just always really like cool stuff. That's pretty much what it boiled down to. And to have cool stuff, you had to work hard to have money to buy cool stuff. So it was like, for me, it was like, man, I can go here and buy this and turn around and sell it and make a couple $100. Well, that's as much as I was making a week at some points at the city, because when I started working there, you made $9 an hour. So I just like buying and trading stuff. You know, I build a network of people that I like to buy and sell and trade stuff with. So once I decided to go out on this venture with you and start this, it was like, man, how do I market myself and how do I grow the people that I can sell to? And that was social media. So I started posting on Facebook. You know, TikTok, even back in 2020, I was posting on TikTok, but it was for fun then.
Yeah.
And now fast forward, you know, I was good at the insurance, and that gave me the confidence to know like, hey, I can probably be good at anything if I just try hard enough. So once we started the house flips, I kind of shifted my social media over to how can we find more houses instead of how can we sell more insurance. And like Brent said, we still sell the insurance, and I still love selling insurance, but now I focus on the house side of things. But really, the effort that I was putting in to be good at insurance, I'm just putting that in now with the houses, and it's paid off because we've been able to find a lot of houses that we can buy or renovate or, you know, flip or whatnot. But really, to me, it's just being a good guy, but just putting yourself out there. You can't be scared to post. You can't be scared to call somebody you ain't talked to in a week. You know, if you see somebody standing in their yard and their house looks like crap, pull in there and talk to them. They may sell it to you. If you see somebody at the grocery store, tell them what you do for a living, because you never know. They may be looking to sell. They may want some insurance. You know, you might build a relationship that'll pay you for a long time.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about Rob is he essentially, anything that he does, he goes hard at it. And that's what I love about him, is that not only is he willing to put in the work, but he really pays attention to the craft and gets good at it. Like with flipping these houses, he's really already got good at like foreshadowing what's going to happen, getting the material that he needs. Like, he's crushing being a project manager. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's so many lessons to pull from the way that Rob does his life, because Rob isn't the kind of guy that's reading books like we are, and he's not into that. That's just not him. And that is for somebody. We say that all the time. Like, you don't have to read books to be successful. He proves that because he just works so hard, but he is always consuming information. He may not read books, but he's always on YouTube. If he's interested in cars, he knows about the top cars, and that comes from research. So he may say he's not a reader, but he really is. It's just about the stuff that he's interested in.
Yeah.
So that's the coolest part. I think you can learn a lot from Rob and his work ethic. Yeah. So what drives you?
Really just my family and being able to provide a lifestyle that we can enjoy. You know, that's why I work. That's why I do what we do, is so I can provide for them. And that's kind of what's always motivated me. So,
yeah.
I mean, you got to find what really makes you fired up to go get after it. And that's what gets me fired up.
Yeah.
Going to competition cheerleading and, you know, vacations and whatever they want to do, being able to go on a hunting trip that I've been wanting to go on my whole life with my friends. That's the kind of stuff that fires me up to want to go make as much as I can make.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point, because we do have to find our why. We talk about that all the time. It's like, why are you doing what you do? And for so many years in my life, it was financially driven. Like, it really was. Like, I wanted these experiences. I wanted all these things. And now I think seeing that shift and like, I want to provide for my family so I can do these experiences. That's a good mindset shift. It's like, not so much, I want a Ferrari.
Yeah.
I want a house in Malibu. I want these things. Like, that's cool. If that's you, like, if that's what drives you, I don't think it's a very fulfilling life. And, you know, I've went down that road of trying to, you know, get all the materialistic things you can. And it's just an unfulfilling road. If you read Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, the richest man in the world, literally talks about how he got everything under the sun, like literally everything. He's like, I planted vineyards. I did all of this work and it was all vanity. So that's what you learn, is that if your why is tied to financial stuff and gaining, you know, more stuff, then it's probably going to be an unfulfilling life. So I love, Rob is one of the best dads that I've ever like witnessed. And he's one of my close friends. So I get to see, you know, how he interacts with his kids and his wife. And he, you know, he's helping with going to cheer, and he loves going to the cheer events. And like, he's just a very present dad. So that's another thing that I want to talk about, is like, Rob's a really good friend in that he really does life with people. And that's something to learn to from Rob. Because so many times in life, especially when you're as driven as we are, it's easy to put your family on the back burner, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So you have to fight to keep that family first. Because for me, it's like, God, I want to make sure I'm good with God. And then my wife, and then everything else kind of filters after that. Mm-hmm. So how has that been balancing your work ethic, but then also being present and being there for Harper and doing all those things?
Man, I don't know. I'm just like high strung. And I want there to be so many things to do in my day, I can't get them all done. Because, like, that's just how I am. Like, I can't stand if it's 12 o'clock and I ain't got anything to do, or I ain't got somewhere I got to be. Like,
how
I'm like,
many people act that way?
Yeah, I want to know, hey, I've got to go here, 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 and be back home by 4 so I can go to cheer practice or whatever. Like, I want to have a whole day full of stuff that I can't get done in one day.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps me fired up and keeps me going, you know?
But how do you balance all of the stuff that you're doing in prioritizing your family? Because so many people don't do that.
Yeah. That's a good question, man. I just, you know, again, that's like the whole reason I do anything is for them. So it's like the times that I get to spend with them is the most important thing of my day. So I just make sure to make a point to do what I want to do every single day. And that's one reason why I like what we do, is because we're allowed to make our own schedule. We're allowed to have free time when we need it. So I just plan my day around what I know I have to do with them. That way they still get their time and I still get to spend all the time with them that I would normally spend with them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're working for somebody and you're going to a job every day, they control when you can take off. They control if you leave early. When you work for yourself, you control all that.
That's right.
So that was another driving factor on why I wanted us to be successful and why I wanted to do good with everything we did. Because if we're successful, that allows me to continue to have the free time and the schedule that I have to take off work and do this and do that. Because if we're working for somebody, you can't do it that way. You have to go to them and ask for permission.
Yes. And when I was trying to get Rob, because I worked for the city with Rob. Rob actually got me on at the city in the sewer department. What a jerk. But no.
It's a good job.
Yeah, it was. It was a good job. It was a good starting point. And he got me on there. And essentially, I went into sales. And I probably was doing my sales thing, I guess, for 6 years before I can finally convince Rob to bite the bullet and leave. And the city's a great job. I just knew his skills in sales would take him over the moon if he got in the right environment. And one thing that he said there is the main reason I wanted him to, because the freedom that we get as entrepreneurs. So many times if you do it the right way, there is freedom. There is freedom to be able to get off at 4 and take your daughter to cheer practice. But he's up at, you know, 7 getting after it, you know, because he controls his own destiny in a sense. So if he can get everything done by 3:30 and go to his daughter's cheer practice, that's the life that I want to live. I don't want to live in a job to where I have to be there till 8 o'clock at night cramming. And that's just me. Like, that's not the life that I desire. Yeah. So the freedom is something that I think you can learn from Rob's life, too, is that, man, having that freedom is worth a big financial piece for me.
Yeah, and your whole mind shift when you work for yourself versus working with somebody, you know, I can remember going to work for the city, and I would have 5,000 things I had to do that day, and I would be ticked off. Like, man, I'm going to be so busy today. Or they would ask you to be on call or work a Saturday, and you would just be ticked because that was your day. And now it's like, I don't care about working on Saturdays. I want more stuff to do. I don't care if I got to get up at 7 a.m. Like, it's just different, you know? Because you look at what you have to do and what the time you're going to have to do it, and it's just like, I don't care.
That's right.
I would rather work on Saturday to be able to leave at 4 o'clock today. Like, that doesn't matter to me.
And some people can't. This isn't for everybody. Like, the lifestyle we're talking about isn't for everybody. Some people check out when they think about their scheduling and all that stuff, because what happens to a lot of people is they get into this entrepreneur world, and it looks good. And even us, like, we can talk about this, but like, you think like just by owning a business, you become rich. You know, like, you're just blind, oblivious to like how hard it actually is to run a business. Because a lot of times, especially when you're younger, you see people that have already went through that hardship, learning lessons. And then now they're sitting in a position where they've been in business for 30 years and they're, you know, super successful, but you don't really see the first 10 years.
Yeah. We're still in that grind. We're still in
exactly.
That, you know, 1 month we'll feel like we've got it figured out. We've got a couple $1,000 in the bank. And then the next month
the rug's out from under.
Yeah. We're running around trying to find out how we can make money, and everything's falling apart. And then the next month we're okay again. So it's a roller coaster.
It is an entrepreneur roller coaster.
You got to be willing to just keep grinding to get there.
That's right.
Hopefully we get there.
We will. And the thing is, it's like the grind and doing it with people that you like and that me and Rob were buddies before we started a business. And a lot of times businesses don't work with partners. And I would say that God being in the center of our business is the only way that it's still working. You know, we kind of made a commitment in the beginning with Alex that we were going to do a Bible study every Friday. And this isn't to toot our horn, but we've done that. You know, if we're open, we do the Bible study. So partnerships are tough, and I don't necessarily recommend everybody do partnerships, but you got to make sure that you're completely aligned with that person.
It's almost like a marriage. You know, when you marry your spouse, that doesn't mean you're not going to get in arguments with them. That doesn't mean that
it's perfect.
Everything's going to go good 100% of the time, but you're able to overcome any issues because ultimately you love your spouse. And I mean, the love for y'all is different than my spouse, but but that's the way you have to treat it. Like,
that's right.
You know, yeah, I can get pissed at you for something, but let me just call you and fix it. Let me think about it. You know, so many people and business owners and friends that try to work together these days are so quick to like call and just lose it on this guy and be mad at them for something. And it's like, man, when you're a business owner and you got a partner, sometimes you just got to think before you speak and just wait it out. If you get aggravated, wait it out and
that's
talk
exactly
to them about
right.
it. You know?
And you got to stay calm. And it's very similar to the relationship with our spouse. It really is. You know, having a good business partnership is very similar to having a spouse. We don't cuddle, but we basically do life together. Like, I am very concerned about his well-being and he's very concerned about mine. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's supposed to be. So many partnerships are selfish. You know, what is this guy bringing me? What is this guy bringing me?
How much money?
How much money am I making? And we've luckily all three been aligned in like building a big network of people that are seeking Jesus and making money and just being good contributing people in our community. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what's driving us. And it goes back to that why. Like, why are you doing the things that you're doing? We could literally be way more successful if we didn't have any employees. Like, we could be making a lot more money, but it's more about the impact that we're having. That's what we've chose to do. And that's why what we're doing is still working, is because it's bigger than us. It's bigger than just money. So that's what's driving us. And that's what makes those days when it is hard. Because like Rob said, starting a business, going in business for yourself, it's out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Taxes are hard to pay. Doing everything the right way, making sure all your insurance is covered. Like, it's challenging. There's going to be things that come up that you're just like, why am I even doing this? But at the end of the day, it's so worth it because our why is bigger than the day-to-day task. And it's easier to push through the day-to-day challenges 100%. When you can see the big picture. Mm-hmm. When you can see the big picture. So now let's talk a little bit about the housing stuff because I want to get into that. So tell us a little bit about kind of your day-to-day right now.
Man, so right now, every morning to start my day, which is normally around 8, you know, we go to the jobs, we meet the guys. There for a while, we had one job at a time, but right now, we've got like literally 4 houses at once. And some of them are in the final stages, some of them are in the beginning stages. But now, man, it's you go to the jobs in the morning, whether that's 1 or 2, you meet the guys, you get the guys going. And then, man, how can I make this job go faster? And like Brent had touched on earlier, one thing that I got good at accidentally, really with insurance, was looking ahead. Like when I was trying to sell insurance to somebody, I would try to figure out everything that I needed at the end, whether that was their bank information, their mortgage company. What am I going to need the day we close them to close them? Because I want to go ahead and get that in the quote process. That way, when it's time to close, there's nothing in my way. And now with the houses, it's the same way. When I go to those jobs in the morning, I want to look at what they're doing that day and think about what I can have there. That way, if they finish what they're doing that day, they can start working on tomorrow's stuff. And I think that's one thing that I've got good at, is kind of seeing what stuff's going to look like when it's done and how can I get it there as fast as possible.
Yes. And that's why our tag team duo right now is really cool in this space, is because when you're doing real estate flipping, when you're flipping houses or investing in properties, you basically have to know, you have to know the numbers in your area. So what's been really cool is Rob's really good at finding us properties. And then I have to kind of go in behind the scenes and say, like, at the end of this, what are we going to sell it for? That's what we call our ARV, after repair value. Like, what is that going to be? So we may buy a house for $150,000, and when we get done with it, it's going to be worth $350,000, but there's a lot that happens in that middle ground. And that's what Rob's doing on day to day, because it's easy for me to sit in front of a computer and say, yeah, when this house is completely done, it's going to be roughly around $330,000 to $350,000. But then making that renovation go smoothly, that's where you really can get in trouble if you're not an experienced investor. So I'm hoping to shed some light, because we get so many times, I get calls almost every day, like, how are you flipping these houses? Like, what do you got to do to get in it? And the first thing you got to do is get good at finding the properties. And that's one thing that we're also a good tag team. All these opportunities, we just have a good network. Rob's an amazing social media guy. So whatever works for you, you got to figure out a way to find the properties, right? Then you got to figure out a way to audit the deal. So, okay, now we've got this house, we can buy it for $150,000, but this renovation could be $50,000 to $100,000. So what have you done to get good? Because Rob, again, his expertise more so is helping figure out what the numbers are going to be. How have you got good at figuring out the numbers on what stuff's going to cost?
Well, I feel like it's anything, right? If you go to the grocery store every single week the rest of your life, you're going to eventually know how much money you're roughly spending on groceries. And with the houses, the first few, it was like, I can even remember talking to you. We were reaching out to buddies in those traits, trying to figure out what we were going to spend. But once you've done two or three houses, to people that haven't done any houses, once you do a few, you kind of can figure out a general idea of what each bathroom is going to cost, what each paint is going to cost, what each material, wood, labor, whatever you're going to have is going to cost. So one thing that I got good at was we found good crews that we can trust to get work done. And they came in and they priced a labor rate. And there's 100 different ways to, you know,
skin a cat.
Yeah, to do your construction on your job. Some people have labor guys. Some people have contractors that bring in their own materials. Whatever works for you, do it. But that was what I had to do, was learn how long something was going to take. And once you learn how long it takes, you can kind of learn how much it's going to cost.
Yeah.
You
know? And that's a big part of it. So he's in the day-to-day running the jobs, making sure the materials are there, making sure the guys are getting the job done right. And then what I'm doing behind the scenes, and you may be a one-man show having to do all this. That's what's made our life where he can go to cheer practice, and where I can go do my thing, is like, there's two of us. That's been really cool. And then Alex is doing his thing.
He's willing to help. You know, he's stepped up in times where we've needed him to do stuff with 100%. The houses, even though that's not his role.
He'll even bring this truck over there.
Yeah, long bed. You can put plywood straight flat.
That long bed, baby.
Yeah.
That's right. That song was about Alex Davis. But anyway, he is doing his part, helping us with the insurance stuff. So that frees us up to be this team. So that team effort is big for us. But I'm running all the back end numbers, got a spreadsheet so we know where the budget's at. Because a lot of times, these budgets will get out of hand if you're not careful.
We're yet, honestly, to come in under one. You know,
it's impossible.
It's just hard to come in under budget.
They say it in the HGTV, and they're right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like now we've got it's like a well-oiled machine. We get a receipt. We send a receipt to Brent. The receipt goes in the spreadsheet so we can kind of track it. The first couple houses, we were just trying to keep up with it, with what we were spending in our account. And man, when all that money's going out and you got multiple jobs, it's hard to determine which money went to which job. And the next thing you know, you're in a bad spot.
Exactly. You know? So what we've had to do, we've had to stay on top of the numbers. And that's what you're going to have to do when you get into the weeds of this. You got to daily look at where you're at from a financial standpoint, because if you don't keep a gauge on it week to week, when you get toward the end, your budget's going to be blown up if you don't know. Mm-hmm. So we've had to experience that and learn from that. So basically, you got to project well, and then you got to stay on top of your numbers.
That's one thing that makes it easy, too, is we like to use people that we trust and we have good relationships with, because you know, when you're tracking all your spending, well, the final 2 weeks of the house is some of the most expensive stuff because you have flooring, you have cabinets, you have countertops, you have light fixtures, painting. That's where all your money gets spent. So use contractors and use subs that you know that you can reach out to them and say, hey, man, how much do you think this is going to be? You don't have to give me an exact number, but give me a close guess. And then we keep another spreadsheet that's a projected spreadsheet that has all the stuff we've already spent plus the numbers that what we think we're going to spend. That way I can tell Brent, I'm like, man, you know, we're 2 weeks away from being done, but with all these projections, we're already at $5,000 over budget. And that kind of helps us. And again, like, we could save money not using people we know sometimes. And that's another thing is it's like, you know, I would rather spend more and use somebody we can trust and use somebody that's going to do what they say they're going to do, because we're already learning in this. You know, you get some guys that say, I'll be there at 8 o'clock, and they might not be there till lunchtime. You get some guys that say they'll be there at 8 o'clock. They're there at 7:30. I want to use the guy that's there at 7:30. I want to use the guy that's going to get the job done, because it ain't about the money with us. But at the same time, it's like a respect thing. If we're trying to do these jobs and we want to get them done as quick as possible, out of respect to us, if you're going to use us, do what you say you're going to do.
That's right.
And that's why I like using a lot of the people that, you know, our landscaper and even some of our other contracts.
The same guys on every job, just about.
Ultimately, we could probably save a little money, maybe. But even if we don't, it's worth it, because he's going to do what he says he's going to do.
And you build those trusted relationships. That's a part of this. That's a part of this journey, is building those relationships around you so you can ultimately be successful. So basically, I wanted to kind of just touch base with Rob today to kind of update us on what we're doing. So we do have several house flips going right now. The market in Georgia is starting to pick up a little bit. We're having a lot of action. The interest rates are still weird. So, you know, there's not a lot of inventory. So it's still a weird market. I'm hoping that the interest rates will tick down so we have a busy spring and a busy summer this year. So I just really wanted to pull, because Rob's work ethic is something to look up to. You guys out there that are trying to grind, like, this is a real life example of somebody who just works hard and works smart and figures stuff out as he goes. And that's what this page is about, is paving the way for other people. Mm-hmm. So hopefully today you've kind of got a little insight on what we're doing. Kind of to finish up, like, on the house stuff, when you get down to the finish line, that's where my past experience comes in. We've got a team of realtors that list it. Mm-hmm. And another thing you got to think of when you're doing these projects is sometimes a deal can fall through. So sometimes you're sitting on a house for 2 or 3 months waiting for it to sell. So you've also got to take that in consideration.
Yeah. One thing I want to touch on too, again, is the whole social media side of things. It's like, man, use every opportunity with everything you're doing to try to document it, take pictures of it, and post about it. Because
that's exactly right.
You know, it doesn't matter. You may look at this house and our profit margin may be $10,000 and you think, well, that's not even worth doing. But if you can get a month's worth of content out of that house and you don't have anything else going on, I'd probably go do it.
Exactly.
Because everything you do, that gives you an opportunity to document and post. And that's what I do. And that's why we're able to find more deals. And a lot of the people that we're buying from now, I market it as, hey, sell me your house that your dad lived in for 40 years and he passed away and you inherited. Sell it to me and you can watch us redo the house live on Facebook.
And, like, they comment.
You know, every
so
day.
Many people are commenting on our stuff.
One of our biggest ones we just finished, the lady's husband had passed and she sold us the house. And, you know, she followed every post that I made on Facebook and shared them all. And she was just tickled. And I used that to buy the next house, because I told the lady, I said, hey, if I buy it, you can watch us transformate the whole house on Facebook. You can come out and check it out in person. And that's another reason why people want to sell us their houses, because, one, we're local guys who are trying to, you know, get affordable housing back in our community and have nice houses. But two, they can follow along with us on the journey.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, Rob's social media presence is something to look up to as well, because he's, like he said, he's willing to put himself out there. It's getting out of your comfort zone and letting the world know what you do. We have a free advertising platform in our pockets that a lot of us are just consuming on. Mm-hmm. Like, look at your screen time and you got 5 hours on Facebook, but you hadn't made a post in 2 years about your job. That's probably a problem. That's probably why you're not successful, because it's literally a free tool in our pocket to market yourself.
Yeah.
So use that as an example in your life, man. Rob, he's a hustler. He gets after it. He puts himself out there more so than most people I know, and he's starting to see the fruit of that.
Yeah.
So guys, we love y'all. If you got any questions about real estate, if you'd like for us to talk about anything specifically, we can go deeper. I just kind of wanted to give an overview of Rob and the hard work that he's putting in on our real estate side. So thank you guys for tuning in.
I'll be back.
Yeah, we'll see y'all soon. Mm-hmm.